This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We begin the Thursday morning edition. It is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross here in downtown Las Vegas at Circus Sports. He's our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Jensen, how was the night last night? A lot of stuff going on. Baseball and some day baseball we're going to talk about that we saw yesterday. I felt like the NBA draft was kind of front and center, of course, for the sports landscape here. Checked it out early. I got to admit, didn't stay with it all night. Any big takeaways from your viewing night last night?
Yeah, I think yesterday afternoon, and we'll talk about it coming up, two of the great phenoms in Paul Skeens, Jacob Mizrowski. One we expected performance-wise, one I don't think we did. But overall, if you're a VSiN Pro subscriber, it has been a nice couple of days here for you. I did not think our Dodgers team total would get home the way that it did, but thank you for the rains coming and kind of broke up the momentum that Chase Dolander had there for the Rockies. Brady Singer, at nine, we had the over 4.5. He doubles that to nine punch outs yesterday. That was pretty sweet. And then the Mac Daddy and Yusei. For afternoon. I mean, the afternoon was quite profitable and the evening was pretty good. So all around, a very, very nice afternoon.
And the curse is over. The Mets finally beat the Braves. So we can finally, our long-standing national nightmare is over in Queens, that's for sure. Great show lineup here on this Thursday. Josh Ingles is going to join us here at the top of hour number two to get all of his thoughts. Certainly going on right now in the world of baseball. Mike Palm is going to join us as well in hour number two right here in studio, which means that you, sir, will be right there on the hook for Palm's Pressing Three. I can't wait to see what's on his mind today. And then always love catching up with Reed Kuhn. It's been a really good week here for all you First Strike fans. Our old show here in the network. Yes, Reed Kuhn's going to be back with us. Had Jordan Sherwood on yesterday. Going to have, of course, Lou Finocchiaro on tomorrow as we continue our big breakdown here for UFC 317. So that's going to be a lot of fun as well. And Zayd Hussain is going to join us also, formerly at First Strike, will be in studio tomorrow here in Las Vegas. So without further ado, let's get to it. Today's edition of Highlights and Headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
Absolutely the worst kept secret. And, you know, we kept going, boy, is there any way the Lakers could still get Cooper Flagg here? No, he did go to Dallas, number one overall. There was no shenanigans, at least last night on draft night. Mavericks making this official. And Jensen, again, no surprise here. But, you know, it does feel like already the Luka trade, it was not that long ago, people, right? And it already feels like it's so far in the distant past. What do you make of Dallas now with Cooper Flagg officially in tow as the number one pick in the 2025 draft? You know, I guess Jason Kidd, you hope everything stays well there. Figure out Kyrie Irving. He took a little bit of less money to come back there to Dallas with a three-year deal. What do you make of the Mavs now, the new-look Mavs, with Cooper Flagg as the face of the organization?
Yeah, okay, so the odds kind of baked in, right, before draft day, and really once we saw what the lottery was going to shake out, and Nico Harrison did not need to go do this draft from somewhere in Europe. The Mavericks now 25-1 to win the West. I think that's overall, Dave, where we start after last night is, you know, what is that franchise or a couple of teams that are able to really challenge the Oklahoma City Thunder. It does remarkable, again, for people that don't know, like the amount of first-round picks and the amount of picks overall that the Thunder have in the next handful of drafts and all the guys that they have under contract. And, you know, every time we see a team, oh, is this the start of the next dynasty and things of that nature? You know, the Thunder are obviously very well positioned from that standpoint. But, Dave, we've seen teams, we've seen injuries, we've seen lacks of motivation from star players where it's allowed other clubs to get through. I think Kyrie coming back, he knows he's probably getting to the end here of his career. He's won a title, knows what it takes. You look at Anthony Davis, knows that he's getting towards the end. You know, what does that look like from a motivation standpoint? And then the young gun here in Cooper Flagg, what kind of impetus does he have to come out and really be the potential future face of that franchise? So, boy, what a difference from a year where, you know, Luka buys some real estate down there under the cover of night. The collusion happens, and he all of a sudden becomes a Laker. And here we go. Cooper Flagg is now planted firmly deep in the heart of Texas.
Yeah, we saw Dylan Harper, of course, the son of the great Ron Harper, go number two overall to the Spurs. Con Knipple went number four. By the way, three Dukies went in the top 10. That has happened before, by the way, back in 2019. That was the Zion draft when he was number one. But again, when you get back to this with Dallas specifically, and again, I love how you threw that in there with the collusion, because it does feel like Nico Harrison, this was the track, this was the plan all along, right? I mean, like, and I know it's going to be a conspiracy theory for the end of time. It would be very coincidental that this was not already maybe orchestrated, that it seemed like, yes, you're going to be getting that number one pick, so don't worry about this. Give the Lakers what they want, and they got their guy. And now it does feel like for Nico, if this was the plan all along, and I mean, he couldn't have had the foresight to say that this was going to be Cooper Flagg and all of those things, but it does seem like now he can save some face, right? That all of a sudden, I don't know which shoes I'd rather be in, the Lakers or the Mavs. I think I'd rather be in the Mavericks' position going forward. Would you not?
Yeah, I think that they just obviously, from a depth perspective and an immediacy of potential contention, have at least the framework here for a club that, you know, even in that division. I mean, think about what that division will also look like now, Dave. I mean, the Rockets, again, are going to be that team that everyone circles. All right, they're making the move for Durant. they should be one of the favorites to challenge. Of course, with San Antonio and Wemby and now with Harper, you know, just dynamic players and guys that can do so many things on the floor. What will San Antonio do in the Giannis sweepstakes? Will they be, you know, continued players or rumored to be in there? Does Memphis have a bounce back? I don't know with Ja Morant and company there, but I think overall, if you feel that this Mavericks roster, just knowing what you're going to run out there, you know, on day number one, I think you have to feel really, really solid about their chances. And if you want to, you know, take some flyers on a team, that's one, at least in the West. Talk about monetizing tickets. Get in a tournament, win a first-round series, kind of see where they end up from there.
We mentioned the Dukies, and Malawach was the 10th overall pick. He went to H-Town. That's going to be interesting there, too. When you kind of look now, Fred VanVleet's back in tow. Obviously, the big trade for Kevin Durant. They were the 2 seed last year out West. What does that look like with Malawach at center? Could be an interesting team there. We'll see how he plays along with Kevin Durant there. Certainly, and then Edgecombe was the 3rd overall pick to Philly. If you like the 76ers, we talked a little bit about them. How big of a difference does that guard from Baylor make? We'll find out there. Can you keep Joel Embiid healthy? The other teams out there, I'm not sure that they're going to be movers in the marketplace necessarily when you're looking at Utah and Washington and New Orleans and Brooklyn with all their picks. And certainly Toronto, we saw the Colin Murray-Boyles maybe caught on cam a little bit, saying maybe he's not thrilled about going north of the border, Jensen, if we're picking up what he was trying to put down.
Yeah, he had some reaction, to say the least. Ace Bailey also visibly shaken that he was going to head out to Utah. So always hysterical to see the these reactions. Draft nights. And again, always remember, cameras on you no matter what. So be ready to put on a happy face no matter where you go.
Put a big smile with that hat on for the first time. Doesn't mean you're going to be there forever, that's for sure. We were waiting for that showdown yesterday. It didn't really materialize with Paul Skeens. The Miz was fantastic, as once again, Jacob Mizrowski looked like, for all the wares, this guy, I'm not sure if he's going to win Rookie of the Year right now, but after these first couple starts, he looks absolutely fantastic, and he was the better of Paul Skeens. How many times do we get to say that a younger pitcher outpitched Paul Skeens? That doesn't happen very often. Brewers get the win here 4-2. What'd you make of it? Because I think the bigger story turned out to be Skeens giving up 4 runs in an inning. I think that's the first time that's happened in his young professional career.
At least on the road. Remember, we came in part of our Daily Diamond with Wednesday yesterday that all 8 road starts heading into yesterday, Paul Skeens had allowed 2 runs or fewer. And so for the Brewers to put as crooked a number as we've seen on Paul Skeens in his young career up that early, it was pretty much game, set, Miz, as our esteemed producer Brandon Valesky put up there. Can I riddle you this, Dave? Right now, through 3 starts, Jacob Mizrowski minus $1.25 to win National League Rookie of the Year. Our friend Chase Burns, who we got at 20-1, is down to plus +750. Drake Baldwin still hanging tough. He had been that top betting choice for about the last month or so. He's at plus +450. So that is your top three. Mm. But Jacob Mizrowski, Dave, has as many wins, 3, as hits allowed in his major league career. He has allowed 3 hits in 16 innings. He has 3 wins to his name in his first three starts. I would say the kid is pretty dominant thus far out of the chute.
By the way, stayed under something we talked about yesterday. And even though it closed 6.5, it got a little, you give up 4 early like Skeens does, and yet 4-2 final. I know it was some sweaty palms out there, but yeah, he's never done that before, which is really incredible to think about too, that Paul Skeens had never given up 4 runs in an inning until yesterday in Milwaukee. So some aberrations there. By the way, we don't have to worry about Paul Skeens having one bad inning, do we?
No, I know some early reports that, Libby Dunn was looking to potentially move on after a bad out. No,
they're going to be just fine.
Here's the thing. If you see him bounce back the way that he did, he gives up the 4 spot and then just turned into a demon after that. It was just really, really dumb. So you love to see the bounce back again. No prayers there with the Pittsburgh offense. That's been such a real disappointment. So, he'll be fine. He'll be a nice bounce back. That's also a betting spot for people out there. Whatever Skeens props are for his next outing, regardless of opponent, boy, you look for some overs right there for sure.
Yeah, I'm with you. And then hearing the Miz after the game being interviewed, boy, you forget how young, right? Like he's already like now we're like, oh, man, this guy, he's the young star. And then you just realize he's got his hands behind his back and he's very, very polite. He's
23.
He's very buttoned up. And the reporter, she's like, well, you having fun out there? He's like, oh, yes. I am having fun. But all business out there when he toes the rubber. So right now he looks the part. Not just of a young 23-year-old. So the Miz living his best life early here. When we come back, let's talk about those pass catchers in the NFL. Some numbers associated, some plus money here, and see if we like any of these numbers. That's next. Yeah, people, it's almost football time. That's next. It's VSiN by the Books.
By the Books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis here on this Thursday. As you well know, Jensen, when I like to drive in here in Las Vegas to the studio, I get to go by the Death Star, as I like to call it, each and every day. And I just think, like, is Pete Carroll already in there? Is he already working these guys? Like, let's get them ready to go here. Football season right around the corner. And obviously the futures market is alive and well. And so there's so many different markets you can attack out there, people. Check your books. We always talk about this here in the network to assure yourself of the best number, i.e. receiving. So when you look at the wide receivers up there for the most receiving yards, I do think you have to obviously make sure you're looking at who's throwing these guys the football, right? And I do think that's why you see Ja'Marr Chase at the top of the board at, say, 6-1. Nico Collins is interesting because I think in a lot of people's eyes, people say C.J. Stroud took a step back just individually. I don't know if that's the big concern for me, is the partner there with Nico. But Justin Jefferson is the third betting choice at 8-1. And then everybody else gets in the double digits with, say, the CeeDee Lambs at 10, Malik Nabers at 11, Puka Nacua and down the board. But Justin Jefferson, this is the one for me, Jensen, that I go, I don't know that there's a debate. You can debate it between Ja'Marr and Justin, who's the best in the league. I think that's fair. CeeDee Lamb should enter that conversation as well. But if you have a rookie signal car, I know he's a second-year guy, but he hadn't played yet, and J.J. McCarthy, would that get you off of J.J. at 8-1?
I don't think so, just because even with all the quarterback changes that J.J. had to go through last year, 32% target share, almost 2.5 yards per reception. O'Connell, getting to KOC, loves to have kind of that volume scheme. So it wouldn't get me off of him. Of course, looking at how J.J. McCarthy comes out just overall, I think will be something you want to keep an eye on. And again, we know that schedule, those first couple of games, hang with them here. That is going to be a very intriguing start for the Vikings overall. Here are the names that I wrote down. I wrote down Puka Nacua at 11-1, just knowing the familiarity and the efficiency with Matthew Stafford. That track record is great. Malik Nabers is intriguing at 11-1, just because, if you feel like it's going to be Russell Wilson, a veteran guy who knows that he's got to get his star player involved and get him the ball as many times as possible. Brian Thomas Jr. There in Jacksonville, also an interesting one. Again, I know we've talked some Falcons here. I know a lot of people are looking at them potentially to unseat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the NFC South this year. I will not be one of them. I do think Drake London at 20-1 is a nice long shot to have in pocket, because if you do have Michael Penix Jr. off to a rip-roaring start, Dave, you got to believe that Drake London is going to be heavily involved in the success of Michael Penix Jr. So that was a name at that number that really was intriguing to me, no question about it.
My only concern is something we talked about the other day, is I looked at kind of that Bijan option. If he's going to be option one in the offense, right?
Sure.
To take some of the pressure off Penix. But you're right. I mean, Drake London clearly is going to be their number one guy. I don't know what's happened to Kyle Pitts, if anything's going to happen with Kyle Pitts in the ATL, if it's ever going to work there. But Drake clearly will be the number one pass catching option. And he is starting to break out a little bit. The Brian Thomas one is interesting to me because, again, down there in Duval with Liam Cohen now, and, like, can you make Trevor Lawrence – the guy they all thought he was going to be coming out of Clemson, a quote-unquote generational talent, at 13-1. Brian Thomas Jr. can really go. So I don't hate that number. I will say this. Let me throw a little bit for America's team. For CD at 10-1. Now, I know you got Pickens there now. And, you know, is he going to – if he takes coverage away from CD Lamb, that's even better news if you want to back CD. Now, he did have the shoulder last year, so some rib injuries. And he played through it until the end of the year when they really didn't need him to play through it. And so he shut it down. That's why the numbers are a little bit suppressed from CeeDee Lamb. If Dak Prescott stays healthy this year, that combination will be lethal again. So at double digits, I'm not hating the CeeDee Lamb at 10-1. Certainly not hating the Brian Thomas at 13-1. But I understand why Ja'Marr Chase. If you want to take 6-1 on Ja'Marr and Joey B, like, normally we don't like to go to the shortest number on the board, Jensen. But that totally makes sense, right?
Absolutely. And again, we look at a lot of these statistical leader propositions. And, you know, the first thing you think about is, okay, how often is this guy going to get the ball? And who is the primary alternative?
Right.
You know, and you think about CD and with George Pickens and, of course, with you know, kind of where the offenses are with L.A., you know, now Puka is going to be unquestionably that guy. I know Davante Adams is there, but still, you just
Puka.
Feel the rapport. Yeah, it's so strong there. So that's why the Drake London one and your point is valid about Bijan and just kind of how that offense is spread about. How many touches do you want Bijan both in the running game and the receiving game? He was a fantasy horse for me last year. No surprise there, Bijan. But yeah, again, looking for potential value, long shot. You know, I don't, and I'll put a bow on it with Amon-Ra St. Brown. You still have, you know,
so many weapons.
Jameson Williams. Yeah. I mean, yeah. And obviously Sam LaPorta. I mean, there's just a lot of different options there, you know, for Jared Goff to go to.
That's funny because I was going to say the one guy we didn't mention was Amon-Ra St. Brown at 22-1.
Yeah.
And it's no slight of their offense. But again, with Ragnow gone at center, you wonder what it's going to look like. I wonder if they try to be a little bit more ball control to keep that defense off the field as well. They don't try to be as high powered. Yes, Amon-Ra St. Brown's going to be a big part of that, but they do have a lot of weapons there in Detroit as well. So I would think for more balance. I'm looking for unbalanced offenses if I'm trying to hit these things, and that's where Ja'Marr Chase and sometimes CeeDee Lamb too. The Cowboys, we'll see if they can run the ball better. They have not done that really in the last couple of years, and that's why I think his numbers have been up. Same for Cincinnati. So I'm almost looking for the unbalance, not the balance, and you might get a lot of balance in Detroit. I wonder what Pittsburgh's offense is going to look like. Of course, we know that Aaron Rodgers has said, this is it, Jensen. When I'm done this year, 1 year in Pittsburgh, nobody's going to be able to find me. I'm going to be so gone. I don't know if any of that is true. We do know he's going to be a Hall of Famer. That isn't of itself a fact. Now, the passing yards prop for him this year and TDs, looking at 3250 in a hook, and you're looking at the passing touchdowns at 23.5. You want to take a flyer in the MVP? Go ahead, 50-1. Offensive player of the year? Good luck, 200-1. But, you know, I just wonder if you're Mike Tomlin, and again, we've talked a little bit about this, and even in some of our Steeler conversation with some of our guests here, once the news became official with Brian McFadden and the like, they have to believe, Jensen, this is the difference maker. This is the Russell got us to 10 wins with this offense. Rodgers has got to be an upgrade. What does that upgrade look like to you? Does it look like 24 or more touchdowns and 52, 51 yards or above in order for the Steelers to take that next step?
Yeah, I all those props are, you know, a moment of pause. Just again with you know what you can expect from him, and is there added motivation since he's already admitted and it's like this is it. So don't want to leave anything in the tank. Want to empty it out. Want to make sure that I go out the way that I want to. I just happen to bring it up and I'll throw it out to you. Steelers to make the playoffs right now is plus $1.30. We also talked about, you know, this AFC North and just where the pecking order potentially may be. I think you and I are in agreement that the Ravens and the Bengals are going to be forces to be reckoned with here. If you think, and we've talked correlated plays a lot, if you think that, you know, Rodgers is in that MVP or Offensive Player of the Year conversation.
Oh boy.
Do you even take a shot at the Steelers being the one seed? I mean, again, if he's playing like that, they have to be winning. We know that their defense has to be ridiculous.
Absolutely. It's exactly the right way to look at the making a similar wager here at different numbers, because I don't know that he's live for MVP. Like, let's walk down that primrose path. In order for the, for 50-1 MVP ticket to be in consideration. Now, he did win back-to-back MVPs not that long ago. At the end of his reign there in Green Bay. So it's not as far-fetched, I think, as maybe I'm making it sound. But that play would be Steelers have to be the division winner. If they're the division winner, they probably got a good shot of at least being the two seed if Buffalo looks like the best team on paper in the weakest division. Like, don't you think at minimum they'd have to be a two seed in the AFC in order for Aaron Rodgers to be in consideration for a long shot ticket at 50-1?
No question. And I think the other thing, too, is and we talk about alternate win totals, right? Does that mean that, you know, you're looking at and I'll just bring it up here.
12 wins.
Yeah, I was just going to say 12 makes sense. Yeah. They even have a 13 or more here for DraftKings at almost 10-1.
Oh,
so, yeah. I mean, if you're going to be in contention for a one seed in the AFC, it's at least 13 in my mind.
Imagine the Steelers 13-4, Aaron Rodgers one seed. Oh my God! I mean, it would be some Last Dance type stuff. We'd be getting those vibes if that happened for sure. Right now, if you want to bet smarter this football season, you got to check out our early bird special, $175 right now. And again, I know Adam Burke, our managing editor, very excited about the NFL betting guide that is coming out. He's put in a lot of work. Everybody has put in a lot of work on this thing. But special shout out there to Adam Burke and company. So it's going to be out here on the 1st. That's Tuesday. So to have access to that in everything we do all the way through the Super Bowl, $175 when you go to VSiN.com/subscribe. So you're going to get your daily best bets from Bill 80. You're going to get those exclusive betting splits, full access to the VSiN Watch app 24/7. Of course, the analytics that you're looking for in the betting tools and that all-important NFL guide. So go to VSiN.com/subscribe and sign up today. The Daily Diamond is next.
Tuned in to VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis. Great conversation in the last segment, talking some NFL football. I kind of pondered when we were talking about Drake London at 20-1. What's happened to Kyle Pitts? And I got a response from Michael Burns. Thank you, Michael, on X. He said, it's easy. Kyle Pitts sucks. Look, I don't want to say that. let's hope that Kyle, if you're listening, step your game up so we don't get X's or tweets like that anymore, right? So we still got confidence in you, kid. You need to step your game up down there in the ATL. Let's get back to our baseball conversation here. By the way, how sweaty is that 9.5 for the Rockies going to get every passing day, Jensen, as we get to the end of the month here? Another loss for the Rocks last night against the Dodgers. So stuck on that 9 number if you had the win total of 9.5 for the month. But let's get to it. Today's edition of the Daily Diamond. And that's why I brought it up, Jensen, because I know there's some tentacles today for the Rockies trying to beat the Dodgers. And if you're going to do that, you got to beat one of their all-timers.
The great eight was Alex Ovechkin. He made history this year, and we are now 8 strikeouts away from Clayton Kershaw reaching the 3,000 strikeout club. So series finale here. We hope that the weather is much better than what it was yesterday. But a weird rainstorm all of a sudden. Rocky Mountain High, and as I said, it allowed our Dodgers team total to at least catch their breath to be able to get that over. Okay, so FanDuel has some intriguing markets for this afternoon, Dave. Method of the 3,000th strikeout. Okay, almost at least over a $3 betting favorite for it to be via a swinging strike, a called strike at plus 240, a foul tip, meaning that if the hitter swings and misses and tips it into the catcher's glove, that's 19 to 1. And then one of my favorites, because here we are in our day and age of pitch clock, and I don't know if anyone would try and bunt. Now, this would be, again, a situational spot here.
Right.
But 50 to 1, if any other method of strikeout, meaning a drop third strike where you got to throw the runner out at first, a pitch clock violation, and the all-important, if you try and bunt with two strikes and you foul it off, that is an automatic strikeout. So that is the method. Now, this is my favorite one, the pitch type.
Yes.
Because the handicap, Dave, is Coors Field. And as we know, breaking balls always are downgraded up there in the thin air. Now, slider as the pitch type of the 3,000 strikeout is minus $1.40. No surprise. It's been one of the great punch-out pitches for Clayton Kershaw in his entire career. Curveball slightly behind that, plus $1.60. Mm-hmm. Fastball at plus $6.50, which actually I actually very much like.
Really?
At that value right there. The splitter at 31 to 1, sinker 31 to 1, changeup at 50 to 1. I may have to go the heater here. But again, he's got to get 8, and we'll see if that's possible against the Rockies this afternoon.
Okay, let me ask you this, counselor. If we did, let's say we get 7 today in Coors Field. Does the bet carry over to the next start, or does he have to get the 8? Does he have to get the 8 today?
Yeah. I wanted to kind of look here on FanDuel to see, and I'll find that information out here. But either way,
doesn't that feel high?
It is fun.
Doesn't that? It is very fun. It's a great market. I love what you've done here with the breakdown. I will say this: my eyes went to the curveball, the big Uncle Charlie. Like I could see, if you play fastball at plus 650 for the method, right? Is that almost like, dare I say, a changeup for him? That you're looking slider or curveball and you get fooled, and that would get me to a called strike at plus 240. Because I don't know that Clayton's blowing it by anybody these days, but if you're looking off speed, right, that's where that called strike and the heater could come into play.
Certainly. Yeah, and it's a great way to look at it. I did find one other market. Okay, so you mentioned, okay, does it carry over?
Yeah.
They have just isolated markets for the start today. Does he get 8 or more strikeouts today? That's 12 to 1.
That's okay? That's an
8 or more strikeouts.
8 Ks is a lot of Ks for Clayton. So I'd play that 12 to 1 if we think it's going to come. And yeah, there's big swing and miss there in Coors Field. And by the way, do you think that Dave Roberts says, I mean, he's got 6 through, let's throw out the scenario. He's 5 innings in, he's got 6 Ks, they're up 4-3, right? Something like that. So it's not this dominant Clayton Kershaw of old. Does Roberts say, let's get this thing over with, man? Let's get this thing done, and let's get him back out there for a 6th, 7th inning if need be?
That's a great question, just because the Dodgers will still be on the road. I think
right.
They go to Kansas City. And I have to look back.
So it's not going
to
happen at home.
Yeah, that would be the only thing, is if his next start happens at home, of course, I think you obviously understand game situation. One other one to throw at you.
Yeah.
Does he throw a no-hitter through 5 innings?
My.
Is 31 to 1. Does he go 3 up, 3 down in the first inning is plus $1.20.
Oh, my.
6 up, 6 down to start the game is plus $4.40. 9 up, 9 down. So to be perfect through 3 is 11 to 1.
I love these markets. I love the 12 to 1 for 8 or more Ks. I think that's my favorite number you've given me so far, Jensen. Just throwing that out there. What do you got for the Jays and the Guardians? Kind of back and forth affair. Cleveland gets the best of them yesterday. What do we got on the bump today for the Guardians?
Guardians comeback winners yesterday. They get in a walk-off and extras there with Jose Ramirez. But today, Bybee is a Vibee. Good job here, Brandon Valesky. All right, so the Blue Jays and Guardians finish up their 4-game set today, afternoon affair. Tanner Bybee during day games this year, Dave, has been very solid. 2-0, 2-12 ERA. Kevin Gausman, complete opposite. 1-4, 6-12. He's had 8 day game starts already.
Yeesh.
8! So just something to factor in there. We go Guardians first 5 money line. A very affordable price here, Dave. So you get a chance for the push here. -$1.25 with Bibee on the hill against Gausman. Vladdy Jr. has been tearing the cover off the ball, same way with Stephen Kwan. We put them together on a hit parlay. That's also -$1.25. And then Carlos Santana, who's had really good career numbers against Kevin Gausman. Two or more total base. A nice little juicy price here. +$1.65. So those are our plays for the Blue Jays and the Guardians matinee affair.
So we're going to play Guardians first five. Feels like a really good play there for Bibee and the bump. And I'm looking at this division. I know the Tigers lost yesterday, maybe surprising to some, against the Athletics. Is this division over, Jensen? Like, does anybody? Royals, I've already waved the white flag on them mentally. But I'm looking at these other teams and going, is anybody, the Twins, the Guardians, is anybody going to push the Tigers? Or is this already done here in June?
Yeah, it could be. Just checking on FanDuel here, -$1,350. So Tigers almost a $14 favorite here to win the Central. If you want to take a shot on anyone behind him, Guardians 13-1, Twins 28-1, and our beloved Royals 50-1.
Oh boy,
it's not going to happen.
Well, you know,
it's not going to happen.
It's hard to run down the Tigers when you can't score at all. I'll leave that alone for now. Let's. You got two for the road today. Who's the big two?
Yeah, again, let's – and by the way, we did find out, Brandon Valesky telling us that Clayton Kershaw's next start would be at home.
Oh.
Against the White Sox.
So maybe he would pull
Dave Roberts
him a little.
Not going to push it. The game's close, not going to push Clayton Kershaw. So factor that in for your handicap. Shohei Ohtani, Freddie Freeman have made mincemeat of Colorado in their careers. They get a great matchup today against Austin Gomber. 364 triple two bombs for Shohei in his career. Freddie, pretty big, not too bad. 429 double two homers. Just food for thought, because I had originally written down an Ohtani Freeman hit parlay. You have to lay almost $3 for that. So we're gonna shy away from that. Two or more total bases each +$1.20. Three or more total bases each +276. So we'll take our chances with those guys top of the order against a guy they have seen quite well in their tenures.
Okay, just for the record, with that new information brought to us about Dave Roberts, I'm off the 12-1. I'm not going to bet it now to get eight or more Ks today, because I do think that would play into the handicap, that if he goes out there, if he struggles just oh so slightly, but he gets four Ks, then that's like prime, let's do it this in L.A. Because they got to be thinking like that, right, Jensen? Like, let's do this in front of our brethren back at Dodger Stadium.
Just so you know, through his seven starts so far this year, the most strikeouts he's had is seven, and that was on the road in St. Louis. Last two starts, he's had four and five, respectively. So, yeah, I could certainly see that, you know, he does what he needs to do, and then if it's anywhere close game-wise, Dave Roberts will hold off and know that he's got a great opportunity to do it in front of the faithful.
No disrespect to the fine people in Colorado, but that would be a show in L.A., right? You can just see it now, the pomp and circumstance, and Clayton with the hat off, and everybody's going crazy. That would seem to make a lot more sense if that next start's going to be in L.A., so keep an eye on that if you're looking for those eight or more strikeout props today in Colorado. ProfitX, by the way, is offering the best odds on baseball all season long. They're a peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40 or more states, the first of its kind in the United States. You're going to be able to make your sports picks against other groups of fans rather than the books. Exchanges guarantee you the best odds on average by 10 to 20%. You can even request your own odds, so download ProfitX today. Use the code VSIN. Earn up to $200 in profit cash over your very first month. Do we have more drama in golf? We'll explain when you come back with us right here on VSiN by the Books. We are back. VSiN by the Books, Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis. They are underway at the Rocket Classic. Remember, it used to be the Rocket Mortgage Classic, then they switched things. So now it's the Rocket Classic that we're going with this year here, Jensen, up there in Detroit. And again, you know, you get through, now we're through three majors. We've got one more to go here, certainly with the British Open next month. And really feels like the majority of the golf world, yes, we're all excited for the Open Championship, that's for sure. But stateside, people are getting really jacked up about the Ryder Cup coming up here in September. That's, of course, at Bethpage Black. And you do get the feeling that some of these American players maybe this week, and we've talked a little bit about it, a way to handicap this, they are looking to, if you're not going to be qualifying for the top six, to be one of those captain's picks, that's the next six, and that's where the intrigue really gets in there. A couple guys that haven't won in a long time on tour are kind of captain or Ryder Cup stalwarts, and that would be Colin Morikawa, who's won two major championships, and Patrick Cantlay, who's been one of those guys regarded for a long time as one of the better players to not have won a major on tour. Those are the two shortest shots on the board here, Jensen. They have not begun play yet. The tournament has begun, but Colin and Patrick, I don't believe, are on the course as of yet. But those are the shortest shots at 12 and 16 to 1. We've talked a lot about the captain, Keegan Bradley, at 20 to 1. Ben Griffin is bucking to make that team at 22 to 1. Really good year for Ben. Cam Young, we know how talented, but again, a guy that still hasn't won on tour at 25 to 1. So those first five guys all have Ryder Cup implications, Jensen. Do you look at that and say, I know that we're talking about it, they've got to be thinking about it, and it can be a motivational way to look at some of these numbers?
Yep, it certainly is. And I know we've had discussions about, you know, Keegan Bradley throughout last week, and for him to, you know, not only to legitimize his opportunity to be a playing captain, but just from a point standpoint, right, make it no doubt. And so still a very nice motivating factor here for Keegan Bradley, even at 20 to 1. Some of the other ones that you mentioned, Cantlay and Morikawa, who I think Wes nailed it yesterday, they're playing because they not only want to solidify their spots, but I think they need to get some momentum, right? Yeah. And Colin hasn't won since I think you and I were in high school. And it feels like Cantlay, too, just kind of needs in his own right to find, you know, some birdie consistency here in the tournaments leading up to not only the British Open, but also into a potential Ryder Cup appearance. Ben Griffin was also the other one that I looked at. I know we talked Cam Young you know, Wyndham Clark to a certain extent. Any interest at him in an outright at 22 to 1? I know we're just getting underway today.
Yeah.
That's, to me, that feels like pretty strong value from our motivation handicap too. And then also just the opportunity with not a reduced field, but not as many studs to overcome here in this tournament.
Yeah, he's a guy that I think you can trust in the betting market at 22 to 1. I feel like that's a fair number on a guy like Ben Griffin, the way he's playing, to the point of a guy like Cam Young, who I did play at 40 to 1 here for first round leader, gets off to a birdie, started, gave it right back. He's already back to even par. So that birdie's already gone for Cam Young backers like myself. That's how frustrating this guy can be. How about the captain? Keegan Bradley just did get underway, and Cantlay. They're both one under through one, tied for first. They're just getting it started here. Wyndham Clark is also off to a good start, one under. Minwoo Lee as well. So you want to get this course early. But I do like that Ben Griffin play at 22 to 1. I'd be surprised. I saw you can get him at plus money in the top 20 at about a plus $1.10. I saw it out there. You see top five here on your screen if you're watching on the VSiN Watch app. You can get him at top five at 4 to 1. I think those are very fair prices for a guy that's playing really good golf. Now, Colin Morikawa, right there at the top of the board at 12 to 1 and plus 250 to finish top five. A little bit of drama that was created yesterday before the Pro-Am happened. For those that don't know on the inside, and this is a way that you should know this stuff, though, when you're handicapping golf, too. This is going to be another caddy change for Colin Morikawa before he gets over to the Open Championship next month. So he's kind of looking for a looper, if you will, to get on his back. So this is the second caddy change this year for Colin. And he was asked about it yesterday. Here's his explanation to why he's looking for the right guy in his bag.
When I split with JJ Jakovac, you know, I had had him except for one tournament my entire career. And you get used to that. And JJ's an amazing caddy, and I wish him all the best. So when I leave that, you know, it's a process for me to find, because I only know one way. And I think people, you know, they're going to be surprised. But the way I put it is, just because two people are great at what they do doesn't mean they're going to be great together. And I think Joe's an amazing caddy, but I think just the way we kind of saw things, or just day to day, how we kind of went about it, you know, we're just a little bit on a different page. And that doesn't mean it's right or wrong, but for me, it just didn't feel right. And, you know, I have to explore other options. And, you know, I knew that coming in. I knew it was going to be a great start, and it was going to be a fun thing for me to test out that I knew I put myself in. But at the end of the day, you know, it's, you don't know how you're going to be, because we spend more time with them than anyone else in the world, honestly. Like, I spend more time with them than my wife sometimes. So it's, you know, it's a true relationship.
That is interesting. So Joe Greiner was the caddy he was referring to there as spending more time than his wife. He spent with Joe. He won't be spending that time with Joe. And a follow, it was like a follow-up kind of dust-up happened, Jensen, in the media room there. And I don't have a problem with that explanation. But switching caddies twice in five events is very – that's odd on the PGA Tour. And I saw somebody tweet out, has Colin ever thought that the problem is Colin? Like, I, yeah. So I don't know how we do that, Jensen. I don't know, like, with pitching coaches, with you guys, how much time you spend with those versus a manager. But when I'm looking at the psyche, I can't back Colin Morikawa at 12-1, not knowing who's going to be in his bag and where his head's at. And he's won an Open champion. He's a two-time major. This is an elite player that we're talking about. But maybe this is part of the reason why, Jensen, he's been unable to get over the line here in recent years.
It kind of extends to our idea of you got to wait and see with him the next handful of tournaments, and now even more so with the caddy change, shot selection, mentality headed in, you know, depending on where you are on the leaderboard, you know, how does that affect, you know, caddy decisions, or, you know, not just even the discourse in discussing shot selection, things of that nature. So absolutely something to monitor here. But again, that's why we do it, right? That's why we have, you know, these kind of sound bites that, you know, let people know, like, hey, for the married people out there, you know, you're going to have fights at some point. And it's just a matter of what battles, you know, do you feel mean the most? And how does that affect your decision making moving forward? Apparently, this was short lived and one that, hey, when you're the guy that it's the end all be all. Listen, the caddy can make the suggestions. It's very similar to us in pitching. It's your career. Catchers will make suggestions. They'll hang the signs, or now in PitchCom, they'll give you the signs. It's your call whether you want to throw it or not. And so similar idea here when you're looking at golfers is you're the one hitting the shots.
That's
you're the one putting the work in. And the buck stops with you, Colin. And so this is your choice. This is what you got to live with.
Yeah, it's a fascinating parallel because, again, the shortest shot on the board basically didn't have a caddy as of yesterday, right? So now what happened in the media scrum to follow up on this is he was asked, you know, who's your caddy going to be? Colin said, ask me in 2.5 hours, meaning he was getting ready to play the Pro-Am. And the reporter that printed that out then asked the question in the media room, and those two got into it a little bit. I thought it was fine. I thought they both kind of made their points. The reporter was saying, I wasn't trying to dog you in the article. I was just saying that I was giving you the respect that you were giving to say, talk to me in 2.5 hours after the round. Colin didn't take it that way. He took it as a shot, that you're taking a shot at me, and why are you trying to put me down, in Colin's words, to the reporter. So there is still a little bit of that chip on the shoulder that we've seen with Rory in the media. Colin has done this now with the media. Typically, those are not guys I want to back at the shortest prices in the marketplace going into a tournament when you're a little bit cantankerous with the media, you don't have a caddy that you trust right now, and you're the shortest shot on the board. Not for my money. Hey, he goes out and wins this week at the Rocky Classic. I'll tip my cap to him, but we always think we should bring you that type of information. Before those lines move, by the way, check out our friends over at sharpplays.com. They're going to help you with all those line changes. You don't have to chase the market. They're going to help you with it. You don't have to outmuscle those billion-dollar sports books, full-time professional bettors. SharpPlays, you don't have to worry about that stuff. Cutting-edge AI, trusted insider sources. SharpPlays is going to deliver that edge that serious bettors rely on. You can get free betting reports, real-time alerts, market-moving insights, all delivered right to you via email and or X. They're not an overnight startup. They've been around the block since 2011. They got receipts, public logs, and results right there on their website. So check them out, sharpplays.com, trusted by the pros, watched by the books. Check them out now at sharpplays.com. Jensen, just to wrap that up very quickly, did you ever tell your battery mate, hey, you put down, I know what I want to throw. You just put down that number one, kid. I got this covered.
I had to remind Victor Martinez, dude, I don't have a curveball. So quit calling. Quit throwing a two down. I don't have it. So
give me that number one.
Yeah.
That is fascinating. All right, when we come back to kick off hour number two, we get some highlights and headlines. And yeah, we saw a pretty darn good performance last night in Major League Baseball. We'll discuss next here. It's VSiN by the Books.